Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be for good pleasure in thy sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit, that they may have rest from their labors, and their works follow with them. Some people have gotten the idea from passages like this that heaven is complete rest, a perpetual holiday, with nothing much that needs to be done. Their works follow with them, they take to mean, we get credit for our good works, so now we don't have to do any more works. But we can easily see that an eternity with nothing important or useful to do would be terrifying, horribly boring. How long could you stand to take a holiday, jetting to wonderful places, pursuing whatever pleasures you wanted, partying with friends, or quietly puttering around your house and garden, reading novels, having tea with friends and chatting, whatever you would enjoy except putting in any effort to get something done, accomplishing anything useful for anyone else, or taking any responsibility. Sometimes we might say, let me try that experiment and see how long I could take it, because a lot of times our lives are out of balance the other way, taking ourselves too seriously, working too hard. But overall, we can see that a life of continual leisure with nothing useful to do would be hell rather than heaven. So let's look at what the Lord is teaching us in this passage from Revelation. The book of Revelation has a lot of discussion of good and evil works. The Lord says to each of the seven churches in this book, I know your works. At the end of the book, he says, my reward is with me to give to everyone according as his work shall be. In the New Testament, the Lord emphasizes that it's not our works as they appear outwardly that matters, but as they are inside, that is, in our will and intentions. But good intentions must be fulfilled or they evaporate. They are like a head without a body. A person who has good will does good things. A person who doesn't do good things when he or she has the opportunity does not yet have good will, no matter what he says. Regeneration begins with the life of good works. In the early stages, we often have to make ourselves not do wrong and do what is right. If we do it, not just because we have to get along in this world, but because the Lord commands or calls us to, then gradually the Lord changes our hearts. We come to enjoy doing good things and to dislike doing harmful things. Good works that used to be a matter of self-discipline become a matter of pleasure. For example, take getting down to work. When we have a big project in front of us, it can be hard to apply ourselves. If we continually shirk the task and get away with it, eventually we won't even chide ourselves for it. We'll think it's clever to get away with shoddy work or make someone else do it. But if we make ourselves get started and see it through to success, we get stronger at tackling big jobs. Or take shouting at our children. Sometimes it may be necessary, but a lot of times it's just that we've lost control. If we don't work on changing our behavior when we've seen that it's harmful, eventually we accept shouting as normal, as something the kids deserve. But if we ask the Lord to help us flee from this evil as a sin against Him and apologize to our children and our spouse when we've lost it again, and work on strategies to avoid this problem, then the Lord can gradually give us more and more control of our temper. This isn't always easy. We all have bad habits and character weaknesses, and they feel like an ingrained part of us, even though they are actually stirred up by the evil spirits around us. It hurts to fight with ourselves. We feel torn between two desires. We have to give up something that feels natural and comfortable, even though it may be causing us big problems. And on the other hand, when we know that we've blown it again and done something really stupid and wrong, we feel terrible, and we may feel that we're going to hell. This struggle is temptation. It is what the book of Revelation means by dying in the Lord. Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord. We read, those who have faith in the Lord and live according to his commandments undergo spiritual temptations while they are driving away the evil spirits who try to stir up their lusts. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are those who keep the commandments of God and have the faith of Jesus Christ. Through this process of repentance, the Lord quietly strengthens our love of what is good, and our old lusts for being lazy, or for raging and storming around, or for dirty things, and so on, gradually die away. That's when we really have rest from our labors, the labors of temptation. Actually, evil spirits cause all the stress and weariness in our lives. They are the ones that make work into drudgery or fill it with tension, fears about our reputation, financial worries, anger at co-workers, impatience, and all the rest of the problems we deal with. In the long run, we can come to a point where the evil spirits no longer dare to infest us, because they know we are protected by the Lord. To that extent, our daily work will become truly enjoyable, simply a pleasure and a privilege. Work can be a great blessing, whether it's making a good home, or volunteer work such as caring for children, or the aged, or the sick, or others in need, or in employment, the common sense of the word work. The writings say the soul of a good work is a love from the Lord. This love or soul forms a body for itself in the honest and just things that a person does. Then the love or intention becomes solid and lasting. In fact, our spiritual bodies are formed out of the things we do from love. Just as the natural mind and body mature through hard work and become capable of doing the things that need to be done, so our spiritual body is formed by the effort and determination of our higher mind, our conscientious application of our energies to doing what is right and to not do what is wrong. If we turn our thoughts to what is honest and right and away from foolish thoughts, the Lord creates for us a beautiful spirit, keen-sighted to see what is true, willing and capable of helping others. If we do the opposite, our spiritual body becomes lame and ugly. The spiritual body is not simply a metaphorical way of speaking of our minds. After death, angels and spirits have complete human bodies, lacking nothing. The difference is that the spiritual body perfectly represents our minds after death. So true Christian religion teaches that the day-to-day, continual exercise of doing our regular work honestly and faithfully, whether at home or in some business, forms a person's mind and body for heaven. We read, he who practices charity in this way, daily and continually, becomes more and more the embodiment of charity. For justice and faithfulness form his mind, and the practice of them forms his body, so that in the process of time, from the form acquired in this way, he wills and thinks nothing but what has relation to charity. A great part of the blessing of heaven is that our works follow with us. Everyone who in this life has allowed the Lord to plant in him or her the love of being useful and of serving his neighbors carries that love with him into the life after death. In fact, that love of serving is the man himself, his or her most central quality. Everyone is born for no other purpose than to be of use to other people. We read, man is not born for himself, but for the sake of others. After death, everyone, without exception, must perform some use. The difference between hell and heaven is that in hell, everyone tries to make all the rest serve him or her, and no one is willing to be useful. Evil spirits, though they serve unwillingly, still are less miserable while serving their lowly uses than at other times. In our culture, we have confused ideas of usefulness. We tend to equate what is useful and valuable with the payment received. Many people labor in jobs with little satisfaction. Workaholism, a feeling of being driven by pressures or the need to succeed, is too common. The elderly do not feel useful because they no longer are involved in lots of activities in the world of employment or in volunteer work, when yet their good influence on others and their use to those in the spiritual world may be very great, though invisible to us. The heavenly doctrine shows that our daily work can be the greatest means of regeneration and the greatest opportunity to grow into the love of being of service to others. But use is not limited to paid occupations or to practical, tangible services. For example, children need lots of time with their parents. Giving that time is one of the most useful things we can do. Husbands and wives need to spend time talking over the uses of their home. The slower, more reflective sphere of older people, with a whole life's perspective on the workings of divine providence and more opportunity to read the word, can be of tremendous use to the community in which they live, as well as to communities in the other world. We need to ask the Lord to lead us into the right balance of our responsibilities and opportunities for use, including times for recreation. Part of the trick is to remember that all good works are the Lord's. He is the vine, we are the branches. Good works are not matters of merit on our part. The world will not stop if we don't perform a certain task. It is a miracle, a gift from the Lord, that we are able to do useful things at all, as if from ourselves. The more we realize this, and the less we take credit for our good works, the more the Lord can help us simply enjoy a useful, helpful life. The Lord wants to bless everyone, to help everyone. When we too try to help others, we are filled with His Spirit, and He works in us and through us. We become His servants, bringing His blessings to others. The Lord's love is satisfied. Inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these my brothers, you did it to me. In this sense, we can understand and apply the words of the book of Revelation, "Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit, that they may have rest from their labors and their works follow with them. Amen." Now to the one only God, Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen.